Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Everybody in this room at one time of your life, if you're blessed, probably multiple times if you're normal, are you going to be afflicted? You're going to go through some stuff. You can go through some trials. You can go through some tribulations. You're going to go through some weakness, some heartache. You're going to be overthrown. You're going to feel like you've been beat. You're going to feel like you've lost. You're going to feel like you're completely undone. And then you're going to find God on a whole nother level. Then you're going to find out God is God on a whole nother level. And you'll be surprised. Because you thought you knew God because how good He was to you in the good times. But you're going to find God is God when you've got nothing else. And when you know that, then you know the devil can't take nothing away from you. He can't destroy you. He can't do anything about anything in your life because God's in control even when you're totally out of control. Is that good? Is that good? Some of y'all know that already. I'm just preaching to you. But this is a second part of a series we started. It's called Affliction. We don't like to be afflicted, but we are. Amen? And we picked up on Joseph, and last night we went down to Bayside and they had a wild game supper, and they asked a guy to come. His name is Brody Croyle. He played quarterback at the University of Alabama, and he was a pro quarterback in Kansas City. And he, as he was speaking, it kind of like God tied my message together with what he was saying. He said there's usually four or five plays that determine every football game. Four or five plays determine every football game. He said, there's usually four or five events that determine and tell the whole story of your life. And that kind of stuck to me. So I started looking, because we were already talking about Joseph, and I picked out five events in his life where he was being afflicted. If you don't know, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. And his life took a downward spiral for 13 years. Write this down, make a note. I'm going to make you a 13-year guarantee. I'm going to make you a 13-year guarantee. Last year is my 13th year in ministry. It's just January, or starting of February, so we've been at 13 years, 1 month, and a couple of days, right? 4 days. Y'all good? So I'm going to make you a 13-year guarantee that Joseph makes in his Bible and in his Word today. All right, y'all ready? Check this out. In Genesis 39:9, Kyle, can you put that up there for me? Genesis 39:9. Here's one snapshot into Joseph's life. Can y'all read that? Genesis 37:19, and they said one to another, behold, this is the dreamer cometh. That's his brothers. Do you know your calling, your blessing, your God thing can get you in trouble? You know when you first get saved and you first get called and you first get excited about God and you're one of them God gushers? Anybody in here? Did y'all really get out of jail? Scott, were you serious? Mel said, yeah, and I seen him there. Check this out. That the thing that God was using him for, he was criticized. This really means, look, here comes the king of dreams. Here's the king of dreams. Listen, if you do it right, people are going to criticize how you serve God, especially in the beginning. And guess who criticized him the most? Go ahead and write it down. Family. Goodness gracious. Have you ever felt like it's the strangest thing in the world? The people that should be as happy for you as anybody are the ones that are upset with you, and total strangers are accepting of you. But I love this, because guess what? He said, here comes a dreamer. This got him in trouble, but it also sets him his path with God. Don't be afraid to do what God has called you to do, even if it causes you some trouble. Even if it takes you down a path that looks like you're going to fail. Even if you're going down a path that looks like it's going to lead to destruction, but if God's called you to it, He'll see you. I knew y'all knew that. Man, he just told some dreams early in his life to his brothers and his family. He said, one day I had a dream. Y'all were all bowing down. Your sheaves were bowing down to my sheaf. They went and told mom and daddy, come here, this young, and he said that one day that we're all going to bow down to him. And you know what he said? Oh, I got another dream. I dreamed that all the stars and the planets and all them, they were bowing down. And mom and dad, y'all were like some of them big stars. Y'all bowed down to me too. How dare you? I'm just telling the truth. I'm just sharing the truth. God put it on me. He shared it. You might not like. Sometimes we don't like the gospel. Sometimes we don't like the message that you must repent and turn from your wicked ways. You must ask God to forgive you of your sins. Then you got to let Him be the Lord of your life. And you can't just call Him Lord. You got to let Him be Lord. See, that's a lot of times people call Him Lord, but they never let Him have lordship. See, when you let Jesus have lordship over your life, He's going to take you some places and do some things with you that you never thought you could do. You never thought you would do. Man, you'll end up some places like prisons and hospitals and nursing homes and all kinds of different places and even churches. Sorry, did I put them in the same category? In churches. You'll be in some great places doing some great things for God. And sometimes it won't look great. Sometimes it won't look great. It won't feel great. You might not even see a lot of the response out of it. Y'all ready? Let's take another snapshot. Genesis 39:9. It should come up here in a moment. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Genesis 39:9. 17, 18-year-old boy sold into slavery, living in Potiphar's house. He's doing okay, but he's still in slavery. He's 17, 18 years old. He's in charge of everything, and it should be all about him. Amen? It should all be about him, because his mama's forsaking him, his daddy's forsaking him, his brothers are forsaking him, and guess what? He's a slave down in Egypt, and guess what? He's got rescued by Potiphar. It seems like to everybody else that he's got everything going on, and he has the great opportunity to satisfy his own physical need. So, y'all so good. Y'all do. Y'all clean up so good and look so good. When I say stuff like that, y'all are like, what are you talking about, preacher? What could you be getting at? We don't know. And all the men in here, y'all got the blankest faces. I mean, y'all just do this. Y'all just do this thing where you go, I don't know what you're talking about. We're all enticed. We're all tempted. We're all tried. Amen? And if anything, as a man, we can understand what the temptation of this young man would be in a foreign country and feels like he's in charge, got a little pride about himself, and all of a sudden he's being hit on by somebody and he could take advantage of it. But what does he do in this snapshot of life? He brings up God. You hear what I'm saying? He says, I can't mess up Potiphar. I'm going to respect him, but ultimately I'm respecting God. There's some snapshots in your life, men. You got four or five big opportunities in life where you can get it right or get it wrong. Women, there's four or five opportunities in your life where you can get it right or get it wrong. You can stand up for God or you can sit down and do what everybody else is doing.
Amen, brother.
And this is where he's standing. He said, I will not sin against God. What an awesome snapshot. Listen, let's dig a little bit deeper right here. Was anybody else there that could hold him accountable? No. When are you going to be the best Christian you can be when nobody else is there to hold you accountable? Anybody can be a Christian here. Anybody can pretend to be a Christian here. What happens when you're all alone and nobody's going to hold you accountable? What's going to happen when you can look left and look right and ain't nobody going to be there? What happens when you get on that laptop or that that iPad or that iPhone and nobody's looking. You're in your room. Maybe you're all by yourself. Are you going to look at that? You're going to tell God, I could sin against you, but I'm not going to. I can do this. I can get away with it, but I don't want to get away with it. I want to get away with serving you. Some of y'all are sitting here right now going, what are you talking about? How about on those dates? How about on those dates? Mom and Dad, you got to be home at 11. There's a lot of things can happen between 6 and 11. Man, you're going to have to make some choices. You talk about God and you tell people that you're in a youth group. You tell people you go to church, but every time you get the opportunity to be alone, do you worship? Do you lift up God with your words, actions, and deeds? All of you don't like me right now. It's all right. Now, adults, let's just jump in your stuff. The church is not a dumping ground. I'm sure I'm going to get fired this morning. Just realized what I was about to say. Church is not a dumping ground. You don't come in here and tell how bad it is all the time and what's not going your way and why this person's wrong and why that person's wrong and why they don't do it to your standard. This is not a dumping ground. There's people watching us in this church, and if all we've got to do is talk about how bad it is, guess what? You're in the wrong place. You know how good it is to be able to come to the house of God and worship? There's people locked in places right now. There's people that are sick and shut in. There are people that can't even get up out of a bed, and they would trade places with you in a heartbeat, and they would have worshiped circles around you this morning. Amen. You complained all the way here. You complained when you got here, and you'll be complaining when you leave. You'll miss it. You'll miss it. It's what? An experience with God. An experience with God. While you were so upset about whatever it was, you missed God. Whew. Go home, that's good. I'll need to preach sick from now on. I'll just say whatever's on my mind. Here's another snapshot. Genesis 41:16. This is some years later, about 13 years later. This man's grown up in slavery, serving as a slave in a prison. This is the day that Joseph gets broke out of prison. Amen? Pretty good? And Joseph answered Pharaoh. Could you imagine getting broke out of prison after 2 years? You didn't do anything wrong to be in prison. You didn't do anything wrong to be in slavery. You didn't do anything wrong to get cast out by your brothers. But here you are, get broke out on your breakout day. Amen? No, come on. All right, here's your shot. They shaved him, they changed him, and he got his good new clothes on. He's not wearing his prison garment anymore. And he's standing before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, I got a couple dreams. I got a dream to tell you. Go ahead. And Pharaoh says this, and Pharaoh says, go ahead, you're the dream answerer. Go ahead, knock that dream out. And Joseph answers. Listen to the answer. Here's a snapshot. Tells you about who Joseph is. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. No, wait a minute. This is one opportunity that he can kind of solidify his future. Now, y'all, do we have any ambitious people in here? Is there any people that like to climb the ladder? Is there any people that is competitive? Are there any people who like to do good? Hey, I'm telling you, this would have been a great opportunity to go, I can knock this out, buddy. Let me show you my skill set. I hope you know this. Pharaoh considered himself a god. Amen? The Egyptian people worshiped everything. If you go and look in the book of Exodus, everything they worshiped, God destroyed on purpose. Frogs, the river, amen? Day, night. I mean, God just wore them out. But anyway, he gets his one opportunity to shine. And guess what he does? He gives all the glory. I mean, there's a possibility here that Pharaoh says there's only one God. You go back to jail. But he says, you know what? I'm not the dream master. I just work for the one who is. If you want your dream answered, you want a message, you want a word, you want some God, I can tell you about it, but I ain't Him.
Amen.
Ain't that good?
Yeah.
He said, there's only one that can answer your prayers.
Amen.
I mean, I want you to get a hold of this. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand. Has there anybody ever been bitter in here? Has there anybody in here been hurt real bad in church? Has anybody in here been hurt real bad by some believers? Or thought you were a believer? Have you ever had your feelings hurt by your family? Okay. This man has been rejected for 13 years. Amen? And all that time, sitting in prison, sitting in slavery, sitting doing stuff for other people, and he don't bring up all that. He brings up the fact, if you want a dream answered, there's one, God. You mean he still trusts in God after all the things he's been through? There's some people in here, I'm looking at your faces. I see you. I'm amazed when I see you come in the house of God. You still trust in God? Wow. What an awesome testimony. Because some of you think it's about all the stuff you do, singing, praising, jumping. Man, some people who show up will blow you away. Some people will blow you away just by showing up. I remember one of my best friends, his name's Ronald Guffey. He's a preaching machine. He's a preacher. He went to revival. And on the first night of revival, there was a lady sitting on the second row, had her head down, just real broken. And I mean, she was not paying attention. She wasn't involved. She didn't sing. She didn't do anything. And just sat there and just stone-faced. And he preached the whole time. And there was a lot of response of that. But she sat there the whole time, just looked upset, looks like mad. And he got mad. At the end of the service, he said to the pastor, he said, come back here and he talked to you. It was good. He said, man, I love the church, love everything. Said, but that little old lady on the second row, what's her deal? Because, I couldn't believe she was here today. Her husband passed away yesterday. And it was just amazing that she was even here. I was weeping in the altar. Matter of fact, when you brought it up, I was in the altar praying for her. I didn't get moved by your message. I didn't get moved by the song. I was moved by her faithfulness.
Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all think it's going to be some things you do. So there's people that show up that should never even be in the house of the Lord anymore. If you looked on the outside, you'd say, I can't believe they keep coming. But they're not coming because of what's on the outside. They're not coming because of what's going on in their life. They're coming because of what happened on the inside, how they got changed. They found God to be faithful and true, even in the storms of life. This is a chance for Joseph to self-promote and get himself out of the situation. But guess what? He glorifies God again. And he really does. Amen? He really does. I didn't give Kyle this scripture, but at the same time, guess what happens? God gives him a child. And then go ahead and put up 50:20, Genesis 50:20, Kyle. But before then, I want y'all to give another verse. It's 41:51. Listen, he has a child. And he calls him Manasseh. Amen? Joseph's cool. I wanted to keep it to five because I said five plays and five things. So I'm throwing this one in as like 4B. All right? 4B. Right after he gets out of prison, God gives him a wife and then gives him a son. And when he come out, he names him Manasseh. God, never mind. This might just be for me. So he said, I name him Manasseh. You know what Manasseh means? It says, God has made me forget all of my troubles. Woo! Is there anybody in here got kids? When they were born, when they come out, you just forget all your troubles. You forget all your troubles, don't you? I remember. I'm like, my gosh, all the 9 months, all of it, man. You know what he was saying? If this is what 13 years took, thank you, God. You brought some life into my life. See, some of you think you're going through a struggle and a heartache and trouble because God's trying to get something out of you. No, He's trying to bring other people to life. Amen? That's what He's trying to do. He's trying to use you. See, if you're saved, you're already a resident of heaven. All He's trying to do is add to the kingdom of God through your life. That's all He's trying to do. He's not trying to do something. He ain't trying to do something to you. He's just using you. Some of y'all might want to write this down. When you got saved, you're a child of God. You're a blank check that God can spend any way He wants to. I'll say it again. You're a blank check that God wants to, if He wants to spend, He can spend it on anything He wants to spend it on. Man, ain't that good? If some of y'all would resign to that right there, you'd say, all right, no matter what I'm going through, that's good, God. You saved me. You've already got the most investment in my life. If you want me to go through trouble with it, that's great. If you want me to be blessed and having a good time with it, I'm blessed. And anywhere in between. Y'all ready for the last snapshot into His life? And I'm going to give you three quick things on that 13-year guarantee. And you come back in 13 years and you tell me that I'm wrong. And I'll give you some kind of something. Yeah. It's real vague. It'll be in the fine print. Genesis 50:20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Joseph has finally got the opportunity to get the people in his hands that put the most trouble into his life. Golly. I bet there's somebody, there might be one person here. Don't you wish you could get your hands on that one person? Huh? There's somebody in here. You know what I'm talking about. If you could just get your, you know, they got more trouble in your life. You get your hands on that one. I bet you, listen, I'm just a man. I'm just an average man, just a normal average man. I guarantee you, I bet on that trip down with all those Mennonites, I bet he's walking up there, he's going, oh, let me see one of them dudes. Amen? Let me see him. That's why he kept going down. Maybe when he entered the prison gates for the first time. When you enter prison, it's not a cool place to enter on your first day. Amen? You walk in there, there's some people that belong in prison. You're like, oh no. I bet he was thinking, if I ever get my hands on them brothers. Right? But then God made him forget all of his trouble. And God delivers his brothers right in front of him. And he's the second most powerful man in Egypt at this point. He can do whatever he wants to do. Some of y'all have had this opportunity. You've got in front of somebody that's hurt you so bad in so many different ways. And the only thing you want to do is forgive them and tell them how good God is. Amen? You hurt me! You really hurt me! But through that hurt, through that broken road, through that path, God saved me. And He can save somebody like you. One person sticks out in my mind more than anybody else. There was a man who committed a lot of murders. And they gave the opportunity for all the people, his families, to come up and tell something to the person during the sentencing. And all of them come up there, I'd like to kill you. You're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. And I'm glad. I mean, it was one after another and after another. There's one man came up there, and the man held his head down and even smiled most of the time. One man came up to the podium, and he said, I forgive you. Because Jesus forgave me, I forgive you. He said, you've killed my daughter, but you didn't do anything to her. She's in heaven. And I pray sometime in your life, while you're in prison, that God would save somebody like you too. And the man, one time out of all those people, lifted up his head, looked at that man, and did not smile, and looked, put his head back down. The only time he had any reaction. I don't know if he ever got saved. Don't care. I do know this. Even the devil knows forgiveness. Even the devil knows real forgiveness. He can't look over it. Y'all ready for your three-point guarantee? I'll make them quick, I promise. If you really get saved, give your whole life to God, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you're going to represent Him in everything you do for the next 13 years, at the end of that 13 years, you'll look different. Some of y'all are going like this, oh man, here, that preacher, I don't like him. I knew he was going to talk about my appearance. I don't care how you're dressed. You'll just look different than the rest of the world. You'll look so different to the people you hung out with, the people you used to run with, all the other people of this world. You'll just look different. Might not by what you wear. You'll just look different. You'll have a different appearance. See, when they run into Joseph 13 years later, they didn't even recognize him. God, come on. I don't look much different than I did when I was, 20 and 25 and 30. But praise God, I look different because I've been around the King. Amen. I look different because I've been with God. I look different because I hang out in different circles. Amen. And all of a sudden, people look at you and they're kind of like, is it the same? Looks like her. Looks like him. Amen. But they got a little more joy, a little more happiness, a little more peace. When I seen them, they was angry. Their countenance was always messed up. Amen? So in 13 years, I guarantee you're going to look different. Come see me in 13 years. You'll sound different. Will you ever? Will you sound different 13 years? Anybody been walking with the Lord for 13 years? Will you sound different? Will you sound different? Will you talk about different things? Will you glorify different things? Will you be excited about different? Will your conversation be about different things? Well, hey, everybody else is talking about politics and weather and all the things and how bad it is, and you'll be over there talking about, man, we're almost home. I can just imagine Jesus coming out of the eastern sky. Man, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. Amen? I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's amazing. He's just amazing. I'm so happy. We got a good family. What? I got a good family? Yeah, church family. I got a good church family. I love them. They love me. I'm serious. I thought I was crazy for the first 5 or 6 years in church. My church family, the people in church, are more like my family, and the people that are my family are more like strangers today. I wish it wasn't so, but it's just the way it is. Because we don't have the same father in some cases. Y'all ready for the last one? I know y'all look tired. You will not be the same man or woman in 13 years. And that's the 13-year guarantee. I guarantee you right now, if you come up on this altar or somewhere today in your life, get along with God, and say, God, I surrender everything. I surrender my whole life to you. My heart, my mind, my soul, my eternity. And I'm going to live for you no matter what. I guarantee you won't even be close to the person you are today. 13 years from now, you'll be doing stuff. You might have to call me from Africa. And say, brother, that day that I come up there and you gave me that 13-year guarantee, I didn't know God was going to take me and do all this with me. But I guarantee you, you won't be the same if you do it. And I'm not talking about telling everybody you go to church. I'm talking about giving it all to God. And giving it all to Him is like this. God saved my soul. But if you've already been saved, coming up here and you would say, God, I'm tired of just being saved. I want a mission. I want a mission. Burden my heart for what burdens yours. And then you can say what the prophet Isaiah said. Here I am. Send me. As we all stand and they come get a song of invitation, I got one more thing to say. Scott, come on, get a song. Listen, here I am. Send me. You know why some of you will not come up here and do that? Because you're afraid this morning of what God will do. Because right now, you're comfortable. Some of you are comfortable. You might have just got a new house, a new job. Maybe you got some new insurance. Maybe you're like, man, I don't need God wrecking my stuff. But wouldn't it be good to stand before God one day and Him say, good, thank you. Welcome in my good and faithful servant. That day you committed to me, and I gave you that calling, and I took you to those places and done those things with you. Amen? Wouldn't that be better than when you stand there and Him say, enter in, and all you hand Him is a pile of ashes? as we sing a song. Maybe you want to come up here and just say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to give it all to you.